Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, there's a fair bit for us to talk about. First and foremost, looking back at yesterday's market moves. The U.S. equity markets were up strong. They're more or less digesting those gains today by moving sideways. But it was an interesting sector of stocks that was moving higher because it wasn't these stocks, these so-called COVID stocks, that were leading the way. A bit more of a sector rotation, or even as I was more or less thinking, more of a reflationary or inflationary trade, as we had stuff like copper and oil and really a lot of things just continue to move higher. Let's get your comments first on that action yesterday.
Well, you can't blame people for embracing a reflation trade. The question remains, you know, is it premature? Are they getting out over their skis as far as just how quickly the economy is going to come back to health? But hey, and we've said this time and again, when you have the Fed chairman who last week with his pretty dour view of the economy's prospects and with his warning that if anything goes wrong with these reopenings, then he sees the stock market as overpriced and maybe out over its skis specifically, that those comments caused a market weakness last week. And when he made his now famous or infamous, depending on how you view it, appearance on 60 Minutes, our, you know, big CBS news program here on Sunday night, he said pretty much those same things, but it was a softer tone because he's now in front of a national TV audience of the hoi polloi and not talking just to market participants. And but the really big takeaway is that he insists that the Fed is not out of ammo by a long shot. Those were his words. And that's being repeated this morning as he and his counterpart at the Treasury Department, Steve Mnuchin, are having a conference call or video chat with the Senate Finance Committee this morning and pretty much saying the same thing. There's no end to how much money that they can create out of thin air by hitting a few computer keys. So, all else being equal, that argues more for us, rather than going into a deep deflation, to have a stagflation type of an environment where the economy is still going to be weak. Millions of people have still lost their jobs and their small businesses. But in that context, there's so much money out there that it's going to keep asset prices of different kinds levitated. Some of that good, some of that not so good.
So, Chris, in all fairness, with Powell saying that, yeah, the Fed is not out of ammo by a long shot, didn't we know that already? Didn't the Fed already tell us? And can't we already expect that the Fed is just going to keep on printing to no end if they need to?
Well, we do know that. But again, to the extent that he needed to repeat that message the other night on 60 Minutes, that's for Joe Sixpack and Sally Soccer Mom, to the extent that they have still some lingering fears, as they should. Am I going to get my job back? Is our house going to go down in value? Are we going to be able to pay our bills for the next few months and whatnot? For whatever vague thing it might mean to them, he clearly thought it was important to tell consumers that things aren't going to get too bad because I'm not going to let it. And for a lot of people, that's enough.
And for the markets, again, hey, money came flying into the markets, and we do have this little short-term breakout out of that range that, let's say, the S&P was trading in ever since the tail end of April. Where do you see the S&P potentially going from here now that we do have a little bit of a breakout?
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to at least bow to the market somewhat, no matter how loony it is. The old saying being, which we've repeated many times, is that the market can stay irrational longer than short sellers can stay solvent. I recommended a while back that my subscribers buy a few inverse ETFs, believing that some sectors were going to go down, even as we're still doing extremely well with much heavier positions in individual stocks, especially in the gold area, which is really catching fire. So, you got to ask yourself, do you stay with that or not? So yesterday, notably, Corey, the S&P 500 closed almost dead on its intraday high for this this range we've been in recently, which has been a low of about 27.75, give or take, up to 29.55. A few times this morning, the S&P has traded above that level and fallen back down, goes above it, falls back down. As you and I are talking just before noontime, it's up 4 points and some change. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You first need a close above yesterday's close to expand the top end of this range a little bit. The big number after that is the 200-day moving average for the S&P 500, which has not been regained since everything started falling out of bed in early March. That is fairly flatlined. And it's just, I mean, looking at yesterday, if you wanted the exact number, folks, it's 2998.44 is the 200-day moving average. I would really be at a place to throw in the towel and say that, you know, right or wrong, there's more money than brains out there. And if you get a close above that 200-day moving average and nothing further bad has happened with the economy or economic news, then you'll get a buying panic after that that could push us up all the way perhaps toward that all-time high from February, because there's still a gap to fill from the early stages of that decline.
Boy, oh boy, what a move that would be. And it would still catch a lot of these bears off guard, I think. But let's talk about gold, because, yeah, there's no denying gold stocks are doing well almost across the board. There is this continued buy the dip mentality where gold drops for sometimes not even a day and weakness is bought. And even yesterday, when it comes to the actual gold price, talking to some of the gold bugs out there, they were disappointed the gold was moving down. But for me, I didn't see it as a bad sign at all. It was down very little in the whole scheme of things as money was flowing into risk on assets. And again, it was this more of this inflationary trade that in the long run helps gold. But take us through some of the comments on gold and gold stocks.
Well, look, yesterday, and I've said this a million times, and I don't say it because I'm right all of the time, but on gold, I've got a far better track record than the gold bugs out there, because they get too religious, and a lot of them are using theories and sales pitches that are 40 years old. It made perfect sense yesterday that at exactly the same time, the U.S. dollar fell out of bed, and gold's early gains yesterday morning quickly reversed, while at the same time, as those things happen, silver took off, copper took off, oil went higher, and cyclical stocks got a bid. Because, you know, as we've seen for most of gold's move, frankly, since it started in earnest in late 2018, gold's move has been predominantly either a risk-off or, because of its character, as I've described it, as the uncurrency. As you've got central banks the world over suppressing interest rates. They're not suppressing gold, they're suppressing interest rates. So that's why gold has done well. And yesterday, especially in the wake of Powell's comments Sunday night and his promise that he's got lots more cargo planes in a hangar waiting if he needs them, that's why gold, at least for yesterday, as a risk-off asset, sold off with the dollar, with treasuries even a little bit, and the cyclical assets that would truly benefit from a reflation environment did well. I've said it a lot of times, Corey. You know, look, if you believe out there, folks, that the sky really is going to fall, that we're not, the Fed is not going to pull off a stagflation light, but we've still got other deflationary shoes to drop, then you still want to be in gold, but you do not want to be chasing the rallies in silver and oil and copper, etc. If you believe the Fed is going to succeed and maybe that we get a break higher in the stock market generally, and that it is finally proven that all of these states that resisted these lockdowns and are opening back up, guess what? They're not, everybody's not dropping dead out there after all. It still doesn't mean that we're going to go back to the kind of economy we had at the beginning of the year, certainly not for some sectors. But it does mean that it maybe is getting to be that time to be loading up on the cyclicals and the base metals and stuff like that, which will inevitably be rewarded buy all of this money that's being printed. So, I'm not at that place yet. It's possible. But again, realize, folks, aside from the pitches of the gold bugs who yesterday couldn't understand why gold and the U.S. dollar went down at the same time and all that kind of stuff, realize that if you're broadly bullish, not just for gold in an inflation or reflation trade, but for all of the other resource stocks, you don't want to be rooting for deflation. You don't want to be rooting that the Fed fails. You want Powell to break out those added cargo planes and so that by the sheer oceans of money that he and the rest of the world are putting out there, eventually you're going to see these things respond. It was very important yesterday that in the wake, incidentally, Corey, of what he said, that the dollar finally weakened a little. Still not nearly enough, and that's still the biggest thing I'm watching to tell me whether the Fed has succeeded or not fighting off deflation. I want to see the dollar's back broken. But that's a tall order, especially with Europe, which I just put a commentary on my website about that. Europe is getting worse faster than we are.
Yep, that's very true. I'll post a link to your website. One final comment, though, here, Chris, about this whole inflationary trade and what gold bugs and even resource bugs should be focused on is this environment where the Fed does keep on printing money, but isn't it also an environment where the markets don't fall out of bed? We're not looking for that scenario where markets crash. It's actually good for resource companies and these underlying safer haven assets, even these base metal companies, if the markets are still somewhat supported.
Well, the markets are still somewhat supported. There's no question about it. Now, look, it doesn't automatically mean that we go back to old highs if the economic news and especially corporate earnings continue to deteriorate. Because the Fed can print all the money in the world, it's not going to fix that completely. A million times I've used the example of Japan. Japan, in 1989, the Nikkei Dow peaked just shy of the 40,000 level. It hasn't remotely approached that since, even though the Bank of Japan, far more relative to the size of its economy than the Fed, has printed all kinds of money, bought all kinds of assets, including stocks, and they still can't get the stock market to the old-time highs because fundamentals still do matter at some point. So my belief simply is that the Fed can prevent a more epic bear market for stocks. There's no way that I see the kind of reaction that we had in the 1930s, which some of the, more ardent and religious deflationists are saying. You've got people, the Dents and the Prectors and the Stockmans of the world saying that the Dow Jones is going to go to 1,000 or something like that. That's asinine, that we would have a drop like we did in the 1930s. In the 1930s, the Fed hadn't dreamed of, suppressing interest rates and quantitative easing quite yet. We're going to get that in spades. We already are. So the bigger story, and this is part of the whole stagflation theme going forward, I mean, it won't shock me at all that 10 years from now, the Dow, instead of being 30,000, it'll be 50,000, might be 60,000 in 10 years. That's not the issue. The issue is that the Dow in 10 years at 60,000 will not buy you in goods and services what the Dow today at 24,000 and change will buy you. That's the big picture that you need to be prepared for. Not these. And again, the deflationists with their predictions are as bad as those, still saying that gold's going to go up because the U.S. dollar is going to crash. They're talking like they were back in the 1970s or 80s. The deflationists are talking like we're back in the 1930s.
All right, Chris, we're wrapping it up there. Always interesting comments and already a lot for us to talk about just on those moves yesterday and these comments from Powell. Chris, have a great rest of your day. As I mentioned, I will post a link below to your website.